Today we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 9. Chapter 9 is entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Today we are reading text 21. Sarvatmana samadrisho. Sarvatmana samadrisho. Hi advayasya naham krite. Advayasya naham krite tatkritam mati vaishamyam tatkritam mati vaishamyam niravadyasya na kvachet niravadyasya na kvachet Sarvatmana samadrisho hi advayasya naham krita tatkritam mati vaishamyam nirvadyasya na kvachet Sarvatmana samadrisho advayasya naham krite tatkritam mati vaishamyam nirvadyasya na kvachet Sarvatmana, of one who is present in everyone's heart. Samadrisha, of one who is equally kind to one and all. He, certainly. Advayasya, of the absolute. Anahankrite, free from all material identity of false ego. Tatkritam, everything done by him. Mati, consciousness. Vaishamyam, differentiation. Niravadyasya, free from all attachment. Na, never. Kvachit, at any stage. Translation: being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of his energy. And thus, he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by his different energies. He is Paramatma or the Super Soul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance. And therefore, he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When he, therefore, exhibits himself as the chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because he is absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he has no false ego, and so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equivalent in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are seeing in this chapter, Yudhishthir Maharaj has been brought in front of Bhishma Dev by Lord Krishna. And since the last few verses, Bhishma Dev's instructions have started to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because Yudhishthir Maharaj was overwhelmed when he saw the huge massacre that had happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He started feeling guilty. He felt he was responsible for so many people passing away. And just to satisfy him and pacify him, Lord Krishna brings him in front of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Now one of the reasons, there were several reasons why Lord Krishna does this. He doesn't allow Yudhishthir Maharaj to get satisfied from any other sages or himself, he himself as well. So one of the reasons why Lord Krishna does this, of bringing him in front of Bhishma Dev, is to glorify Bhishma Dev. So we see that Bhishma Dev is lying on a bed of arrows. He has been shot by so many arrows that there is not even two finger space between two arrows on his body. So he was actually in lot of bodily pain. Now, from our life we know, if we get a cut somewhere or a thorn pricks us, how much pain do we get? So, and here he's, you know, his full body, his whole body is covered with arrows. So he was absolutely in pain. But Bhishma Dev was not at all on the bodily platform of life. He was completely transcendental. So the Lord wanted to show this part of Bhishma Dev, this glory of Bhishma Dev, that how one should leave their body. So although Bhishma Dev is in pain and he is about to pass away, his consciousness is absolutely clear. His intelligence is completely sharp and focused, and he is completely Krishna conscious. Now in our life, if we see, whenever we get some sickness or we have a fever, even a slight fever, or we have a bad cough and cold, like in winter all of us get that, or hay fever or something like that, immediately, like especially I'm speaking for me, immediately our consciousness starts going down and we very subtly put off getting focused back into our Krishna consciousness. Oh, let the sickness get over and then I'll chant my rounds attentively, or then I'll start going for Mangala Arati again. So we subtly put off all our focus in our Krishna consciousness, which we would have normally had if we had good health. But Bhishma Dev is not like that. He is an absolute body pain. He is lying down on the bed of arrows and he knows he is going to leave his body. But still he is completely Krishna conscious. And he is in fact lying down on those bed of arrows and he is giving so many instructions to Bhishma Dev. He is speaking the highest religious principles. He is telling him instructions on how the Lord is completely absolute and how he is non-different, this Lord who is standing in front of you. In the previous verse we saw in verse 20 that he is saying that although he acted as your chariot driver, your messenger, a peacekeeper, but still he is the Supreme Lord. And you know, don't mistake that he is not the Supreme Lord just because he is acting in a very friendly way with you. So he is giving all these high instructions to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he is also pacifying Yudhishthir Maharaj. That why, you know, how y'all underwent all these sufferings which were because of the plan of the Lord and the time factor of the Lord. And you know, all these people who had to die was the will of the Lord. Because the Lord wanted to establish dharma in the world. And he did not want adharmic kings like Duryodhana to rule the world. So absolutely in pain, but still he is giving all these instructions. His intelligence is absolutely clear. And his consciousness is completely Krishna conscious. So this is a lesson which is meant for us to learn. Because Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. Mahajano yena gatha satantha. We are meant to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. So all these Mahajans, they set example for us in every facet of devotional life. Whether how to do our devotional life, how to worship the Lord, and even how to pass away. In every facet, Mahajans usually set an example for us. And we are meant to follow, we are meant to learn from this example of how we should behave when we are in bodily pain or how one should pass away or leave the body in complete Krishna consciousness. And we see the same example in Srila Prabhupada's life as well. Now I was watching the DVD called The Final Lesson a few weeks ago. And that DVD is all about how Srila Prabhupada left this world. It's a recording of the last few days of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is virtually a skeleton. You can see from that DVD, there's only bones and skin. There's hardly anything left on Prabhupada's body. Many of his organs had stopped functioning during the last days of his leaving. He was in so much pain during the last days. But Prabhupada was absolutely Krishna conscious, just like Bhishma Dev we see over here. You see in that DVD, Prabhupada is on his bed and he doesn't have strength to even get up by himself. In fact, when he was taken around for darshan, he used to be carried in a palanquin by his disciples. So there was no strength left in his body. But still there is a dictaphone that has been placed in front of him on Prabhupada's request. And Prabhupada is sitting and translating. He is still translating the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam on his deathbed. And if you see the purpose of 10th canto, it's not that, you know, his consciousness had become garbled or he was not, you know, totally in control of his senses. No, they are still his devotional ecstasies. He was still completely aware and completely in control of whatever he was doing. So Srila Prabhupada also set this example for us, like Bhishma Dev, that how gloriously one should leave their body at the moment, last moments of their death. And Bhishma Dev is setting that example for us over here. And in this particular verse, we see that Bhishma Dev is talking about the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So we see he is saying that the Lord is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone. He is free from false ego of differentiation. And he is equibalanced. So some of the qualities of the Lord are being described by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So specifically in the purport, Prabhupada stresses on the quality that how the Lord does not have any false ego. And because the Lord has no false ego and he is not at all ashamed that therefore to do any sort of work for his devotees. And the Lord, he is the Supreme Lord. He is full of all six opulences. He is the most renowned, he is the most wealthy, most beautiful. He is full of all opulences. But still he has no false ego. And in the material world, exactly the opposite is true. If somebody has some material opulence, like if somebody is wealthy or somebody is beautiful, then their false ego is extremely high. And we never see those people accepting to do some menial service. They will in fact think, what? I have to do this. They will never do that. They will look down upon such a work if anything is presented to them like that. But Krishna is not like that. He is completely free from false ego and therefore he could become the chariot driver of his friend Arjuna. Therefore he could become the peace messenger. And he knew that when he goes there is a risk that Duryodhana might not treat him properly. And that is what he had to encounter. Duryodhana actually tried to capture him. So he knew this risk was there. He knew he might be insulted in Duryodhana's court. But still he did not have any shame or any ego in going as a peace messenger of the Pandavas. And we see in his childhood also, we see many pictures in the Krishna book, that the Lord used to carry his father's shoes on his head. And he used to take the shoes to his father Nanda Maharaj to wear. And he used to carry his friends on his shoulders. He used to beg Radharani. He used to fall at his feet. So all these aspects we see that, you know, we can clearly make out that the Lord is completely free from false egos. And in this instance also, this pastime which is going on, where the Lord has personally come in front of Bhishma Dev. Now Bhishma Dev actually fought on the opposite camp, on the opposite side. He actually sided with Duryodhan. And he actually fought against the Pandavas who were so dear to Krishna. Now obviously there are certain reasons for this. It was a pastime of the Lord. But still, the Lord was not inimical towards Bhishma Dev. He did not think, oh, this man has fought on the opposite side. Whatever it is, he took the side of Adharma. He did not think like that. He knew that it is Bhishma Dev's desire to see him when he passes away. And therefore the Lord has come in front of Bhishma Dev. In the next few verses, Bhishma Dev will tell Yudhishthir Maharaj that how he has come to just give me darshan. Because that was one of the purposes as well of the Lord bringing Yudhishthir Maharaj. Because Bhishma Dev wanted to pass away looking at the Lord in complete Krishna consciousness. And the Lord, because he is so loving towards his devotees, he wanted to reciprocate with that desire of Bhishma Dev. So he comes in front of Bhishma Dev and he gives him darshan in his four-handed Vishnu form. And completely, you know, keeping his eyes open, focusing on the Lord. And then Bhishma Dev leaves this planet in complete Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada mentions in the last line of the purport that it is the glory of a pure devotee who can bring about this service from the Lord. So it requires also, the Lord is free from false ego, the Lord is ready to do services for his devotees. But it requires a pure devotee to draw out this service from the Lord. And today we are going to discuss about one such pure devotee whose disappearance day it is today, and that is Srivas Thakur. So he is part of the Panchatattva, and we will spend the next few minutes discussing about Srivas Thakur because it's his disappearance day. And it is said that if we glorify devotees on the appearance day or disappearance day, it is very purifying for our consciousness. So Srivas Thakur was part of the Panchatattva. And he was a devotee who drew out this service from the Lord. He drew out so much affection from the Lord that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually had cried hearing about the devotional qualities of Srivas Thakur. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 7.6, there is a verse which is mentioned which says, Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So this is describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the five aspects or five tattvas in which he came to the material world. And one of the tattvas is Bhaktakhyam. So it says Bhakta Rupa. Bhakta Rupa means it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Swarupakam, that means an expansion of the Lord, which is Lord Nityananda. Then Bhakta Avatara means an incarnation of the Lord, which was Advaita Acharya, who was Mahavishnu and Sadashiva combined. Then Bhaktakhyam means known as a devotee. So that devotee was Srivas Thakur. Narad Muni, who is a devotee of the Lord, came in the form of Srivas Thakur in Panchatattva. And Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So Bhakta Shakti means the energy of the Lord, which is Gadadhar Pandit, who is Radharani in the spiritual world. So Srivas Pandit, Narad Muni came as Srivas Pandit, and one of Srivas Pandit's brother, whose name was Sri Ram, that was Parvata Muni. So Parvata Muni and Narad Muni were very good friends, and they both came down as brothers to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mission. Now previously, Srivas Thakur used to live in Srihatta. There is a place called Srihatta. I think it is now in present day Bangladesh. And he used to live there with his four brothers, Sriram, Srinidhi and Sripati and Srivas. So these were the four brothers who used to live together. And later on it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srivas Thakur, along with all his brothers and their families, they moved to Navadvip. And after they moved to Navadvip, Srivas Thakur used to have regular kirtans and regular reading of Srimad Bhagavatam in Advaita Acharya's house. So all the Vaishnavas of Navadvip used to get together in Advaita Acharya's house, and they used to regularly sing, dance and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even it is mentioned that Jagannath Mishra also used to participate in these Sankirtan festivals which Srivas Thakur and all the Vaishnavas used to have. And Srivas Thakur's wife, whose name was Malini Devi. She was a very good friend of Sachi Mata. So in fact it is mentioned that when Sachi Mata delivered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that time Malini Devi went and helped Sachi Mata with so many aspects of delivery, looking after her, looking after the child. So Srivast Thakur and Malini Devi, they were both in Vatsalya Bhav actually towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even though the Lord was born, and it is mentioned that Advaita Acharya used to pray for the Lord to advent, and even Srivast Thakur and other Vaishnavas, like Srivast Thakur was known as Bhakta Pradhan. He was the chief of all the Vaishnavas there in Navadvip. So he also used to pray that so much, you know, ill effects of Kali Yuga are going on. Oh Lord, you please advent, you please advent. Even Srivast Thakur used to pray like this. And although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, the Supreme Lord was born in Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata's house, but because he had kept himself covered by his internal potency, the devotees could not recognize at that time that this is the Supreme Lord himself. So they were in so much Vatsalya Bhav. Srivast Thakur and Malini Devi used to look after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their own son. They used to look after him and they used to assist Sachi Mata in looking after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore Srivast Thakur also used to chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes. So it is mentioned that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up, like he was known as Nimai Pandit at that time, he was a great scholar of Sanskrit. And he had so much scholarship of Sanskrit and of, you know, Sanskrit grammar and of that knowledge, that he had defeated Keshav Kashmiri in a debate. Now Keshav Kashmiri was known as the greatest scholar of India at that time. But Nimai Pandit had, he was just a child, he was just a teenager I think, and he had completely defeated Keshav Kashmiri. So because of this defeating Keshav Kashmiri, Nimai Pandit's glories had spread all throughout Navadvip. And everyone, so many students, like if we come to know, especially you know, Aditya, my son Aditya is studying. And I know if there is some good teacher, then I know there is a big queue behind that teacher to take tuitions, or if there is a good coaching institute, then there is a queue to get in such a coaching institute. So similarly, because Nimai Pandit was so well known, there was a big line of students waiting outside his house to enroll in his toll, which is known as the grammar school. So the whole world used to praise him, but Srivast Thakur, because he was a Vaishnava, he actually chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once. So once when Nimai Pandit was walking down the street, he met Srivast Thakur, and Srivast Thakur actually stopped Nimai Pandit and he told him that why are you wasting your time like this in pursuing all this mundane knowledge and in pursuing this mundane scholarship of grammar. What is the use of studying all this if it is not leading to devotional service to Krishna? So you are just wasting your life. Human form of life is meant for actually developing our love for Krishna, and here you are just involved in this mundane scholarship, and you are making so many other students also involved in this mundane scholarship. So you should immediately give all this up and take to devotional service of the Lord. So this is how Srivast Thakur was chastising Nimai Pandit. And Nimai Pandit, because he recognized Srivast Thakur as a pure devotee, he actually took the dust off his feet and he told him that you are a pure devotee of the Lord. So you please bless me that one day I also take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and I also take to the devotional service of the Lord. And he took such blessings from Srivast Thakur. And it is mentioned that, you know, Nimai, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Nimai Pandit, was actually teaching all of us that it is not possible to obtain Krishna or to get the lotus feet of Krishna without taking the blessings and the mercy of a Vaishnava and without the prayers of the Vaishnavas. So it is mentioned that when Nimai Pandit used to, you know, be involved in all this mundane scholarship, Srivast Thakur and all the other devotees used to actually pray to the Lord, because he was so charming and attractive. They used to pray that this Nimai is such a nice boy and he's just wasting his time in all these grammatical debates. So my Lord, please make him into a devotee. And if he becomes a devotee, then so many others will also become, because he's so attractive to people. So they used to pray, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us by this pastime that without the prayers of Vaishnavas and without getting their blessings, we cannot advance in our Krishna consciousness. We need to get their blessings so that we advance, and that is what Nimai Pandit did at that instance. So after that, Nimai Pandit very soon went to Gaya and he took initiation from Ishwarapuri. And when he came back, he was a completely transformed person. He had given up all his pursuit of scholarship, all his pursuit of knowledge of grammar. He had completely given up all these pursuits. And when whomever he used to meet, he used to beg them to talk about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So he had completely become a devotee of the Lord. And he used to manifest all the ecstatic symptoms also in his body. And when he started manifesting these symptoms like horripilation or perspiration or fainting, Sachi Mata was very worried when she used to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaving like this. And she used to call so many people, like all the elderly people, and she used to ask, what has gone wrong with my son? He just went to Gaya to do the last rites of his father, and now he is a completely transformed person. And he is behaving like a madman almost. So what is wrong with him? And we know, if you know, even when we are sick, there are 50 people who will give us different opinions. You should take this medicine, that medicine, drink this, drink that. So similarly, there were so many people who were giving different opinions to Sachi Mata. That, oh, I think his Vayu is imbalanced. So maybe you should give him some special oil should be rubbed on his head. And somebody said you should tie up his hands and feet and massage his whole body. So everybody was giving different opinions, thinking that there is some disease in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sachi Mata was trying out also all these things on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it didn't seem to have any effect. So then ultimately she called Srivas Thakur, because Srivas Thakur had helped when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. He was in a, you know, like a father to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then she called Srivas Thakur and she said that look at my son. Why is he behaving like this? Look at all the things that he's doing. He suddenly perspires, he suddenly falls down, he's manifesting all these symptoms, and I'm absolutely not able to understand what is wrong with my son. And it is said that it takes a devotee to recognize another devotee. So when Srivas Thakur came in Sachi Mata's house and he saw all these symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately recognized that, oh, these are ecstatic symptoms which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting. So he immediately realized that because he is in transcendental bhava, or he is in so much love with Krishna, all these manifestations are coming on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. And he immediately fell down at his feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him that, Srivas Thakur, you tell me what is wrong with me. Everybody is saying that there is some Vayu problem in me, or something has possessed me and all these things. And Srivas Thakur said that, no, you have a very rare disease. And I wish I have that disease, that you are manifesting ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead. And I really pray that I can manifest these symptoms one day. So Srivas Thakur was so overjoyed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become a devotee. And he says also that let the family of Vaishnavas grow unlimitedly. He prays to the Lord like that when he sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become a devotee. So he tells Sachi Mata not to worry at all, that these are just manifestations of his love for Krishna. And they all came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has become a devotee. So they all started after they came to know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee, they all started gathering and they started having kirtan in Srivas Thakur's house. So it is mentioned that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in Jagannath Mishra's and Sachi Mata's house, like Lord Krishna had taken birth in Mathura, but Krishna immediately left Mathura and he performed most of his intimate pastime in Vrindavan or Rajabhumi. So similarly, it is mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth in Jagannath Mishra's house, but all of his intimate pastimes were performed in Srivas Thakur's house, which is known as Srivasangam, or in the courtyard of Srivas. And this Srivasangam is mentioned to be non-different than Rasasthali, or the Ras Leela's place of Lord Krishna with his gopis. So in Srivasangam, the Lord used to have so many pastimes. They used to dance throughout the night. The Lord and the devotees used to dance. They started by doing kirtans in the day. And then one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that, why are we all wasting our time at night? Why not have full night kirtans as well? And because of the Lord's mercy, the devotees could sustain that. They were able to be awake throughout the night. And they used to have full night kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so much of ecstatic dancing and singing used to go on in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur. And because of that, there were so many people who became envious. Now the neighbors were getting disturbed because of so much loud kirtan going on in Srivas Thakur's house. And they started complaining that, what is this going on? What is this man? Because Srivas Thakur was a very prominent Brahmana also in the community. So why this Brahmin is wasting his time like this? Neither does he sleep nor does he allow all of us to sleep. Why doesn't he go to sleep? And because we need to sleep. We have to go to work tomorrow. We have to get money for our sense gratification. So all the neighbors started complaining. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada was also very very aware and very conscious of neighbors, of not disturbing neighbors when kirtan is being done. So in Leelamrita it is mentioned that when he used to do Kirtan on 26 Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada used to instruct his the people who used to come that, you know, you'll clap softly or you'll sing softly because we don't want to disturb the neighbors. And whenever the noise used to get a bit loud, the person who used to live above 26 Second Avenue, he used to pour water and it used to rain on the devotees. It used to leak through the floor and it used to rain on the devotees. But Prabhupada was always conscious and he tried to keep Kirtan soft and to whatever extent he could. Obviously, beyond an extent he was not listening to other people. But to whatever extent he could, he was very aware of that neighbors should not get disturbed. But in this case, the neighbors of Srivas Thakur were actually very envious of Srivas Thakur because they were not getting entry into that singing and dancing which was going on in Shriva Sangam, because it was such an intimate gathering that nobody else was allowed in that singing and dancing. Only intimate servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were allowed. So it is mentioned that once one austere Brahmin, because the news of that these, you know, nightly kirtans are going on and they are such ecstatic kirtans were spreading throughout Navadvip. So once a Brahmin came to Srivas Thakur and he said that, I'm very austere, I don't even eat grains. I haven't eaten grains since the time I've taken the vow of Brahmacharya. I just drink cow's milk twice a day. So you please, you know, and I have so much scholarship, I have so much knowledge of the Vedas. So please allow me to enter this kirtan. I would like to view this kirtan and dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas Thakur was very scared. He knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not like it if some unauthorized or unbonafide person is allowed to enter the kirtan. So he told him, no, I'm not allowed to let anyone enter this kirtan. But the Brahmin begged and begged and begged. And he said that, I am also, you know, wanting to pursue these things. I'm already so austere. Why I'm not qualified to enter? So ultimately Srivas Thakur, because he was so soft, he allowed him to enter. And the Brahmin hid behind one cupboard or something like that. And he was watching the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during the dancing and kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately realized that there is somebody present here who is actually not supposed to be present in this kirtan. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not feeling the ecstasy which he was normally feeling on other nights. So he immediately stopped the kirtan and he called Srivas Thakur and he asked him that, is someone present here who is not supposed to be in this kirtan? Is some unauthorized person there in this house? And Srivas Thakur got so scared because he had allowed that Brahmin to come in. So Srivas Thakur very meekly said that, yes, there is this Brahmin. He assured me that he is very austere and he just drinks cow's milk twice a day and he is very, very knowledgeable. So I have allowed him. He wanted to witness the kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roared in anger at Srivas Thakur and he said, call that Brahmin out, call that Brahmachari out. So immediately the Brahmachari's legs had already given away by that time, hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's anger. So very meekly he came out in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, do you think by all this austerity and by knowledge you will be able to get devotion for the Lord? He said, this all is not required to get devotion for the Lord. They may help, but they are not absolutely required. And that does not make one qualified to enter into the devotional service of the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him like that. But because the Brahmachari was almost a devotee, Prabhupada says that, you know, jnanis and yogis, they are a little bit misled, but they are almost devotees. Their attention has just to be turned towards Krishna. So although he was doing all the things which are required, like he was austere, he was doing knowledge and all. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, okay, you can stay in the kirtan, and the Brahmachari actually promised that, no, I will take up devotional service of the Lord. So after that he was allowed to stay in the kirtan and he became a very nice intimate associate of the Lord. So this was the nature of the kirtans which used to go on in Shriva Sangam, and the neighbors got very envious of this kirtan. So and they said, they started discussing among themselves, and because the kirtan was so loud, there were complaints which had gone to the Muslim king. And the Muslim king wanted to arrest whoever, because Hindus, according to the Muslims, the Hindus were not allowed to have loud chanting of the Lord names in the streets or in their houses and all. So the Muslim king had actually sent a boat full of soldiers to arrest whoever was doing these kirtans. And the neighbors were so scared. They said that the Srivas Thakur is doing kirtan along with his associates and they will all run away when the Muslim soldiers come. And we all will be captured by them and we all will be thrown in the dungeons by the Muslim king. So we have to do somehow, we have to catch this Srivas Thakur. And you know, there were so many opinions they were all discussing out of their envy. They said, oh, we should burn the house of Srivas Thakur. Someone said we should tie him up and drown him in the Ganga. So many different things they were discussing. And the news spread that, you know, this boat full of soldiers is coming. So all the devotees also started getting a bit anxious that, oh, our kirtans are going to stop now. Their anxiety was for that, that our kirtans will stop now because the Muslim king is sending someone, some soldiers to arrest all of us and to stop all these kirtans which are happening. So the devotees were in so much anxiety. And because of the devotees' anxiety, Srivas Thakur also was in anxiety. So he went, he locked himself in his puja room and he started praying to his Shaligram Srila and he started praying to Lord Vishnu and to Narasimha Dev to somehow protect the nightly kirtans which were happening and to somehow protect all the devotees. And during that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking along the bank of Ganga. And he saw some cows were frolicking around and they were playing on the bank of the Ganga. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went in the consciousness of Lord Krishna as a cowherd boy. So he saw that these cows are playing and he also, because he is the Paramatma, he came to know that Srivas Thakur is in some anxiety. So he ran roaring to Srivas Thakur's house and he started pounding on his door. And he said, "Let me in, let me in. The Lord whom you are worshipping has come to see, show you his darshan. Let me in." Like that he started pounding. And Srivas Thakur opened the door and he rushed inside and he sat on the bed which was meant for Lord Vishnu in Srivas Thakur's house. And he said, "Look, Srivas, whom you are worshipping and whom you are trying to call out in this time of difficulty is present before you in his original form." And when Srivas Thakur saw, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had transformed himself into his four-armed Vishnu form. So this is the first time, like, the devotees were aware that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they only knew his identity as a pure devotee of the Lord. But they were not aware of the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord himself. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always used to keep his identity hidden. In fact, he used to say Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu if somebody used to say, hint anything like otherwise. But this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, himself showing his opulence as Lord Vishnu to Srivas Thakur. And he says that now you call all your family members, all your maid servants, everyone, and you all worship me. You offer me puja, you worship me, and so that your desires are satisfied. And Srivas Thakur was so happy that he immediately falls at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it is mentioned that because Srivas Thakur was such a pure devotee, all his family members, including the maid servants of his house, got pure devotional service for the Lord. Just because they were attached to this Vaishnava and they were serving this Vaishnava, Srivas Thakur, they got the mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all the members of the family came, they all worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he placed his feet on their head, on the family members' heads. And then he assured Srivas Thakur that you need not worry at all. I am there to protect you. So you don't worry and I will protect you from these Muslim soldiers who have been sent by the king. And he gave assurance to Srivas Thakur and all the devotees. And this way he protected Srivas Thakur. So it is also mentioned that once while, you know, they were having these nightly kirtans, they used to start the kirtans at sunset and they used to go on throughout the night till morning, when the devotees used to go to the Ganga and then take their bath and start their morning duties. So it 2 hours after sunset, the kirtan had already started. And 2 hours after sunset, Srivas Thakur's son, who was suffering from fever during the last few days, he left his body suddenly. And when he left his body, obviously the young son has left his body, so the members of the family were so aggrieved. And they all started, especially the ladies of the house, they all started crying loudly because the boy had left and he had passed away. And Srivas Thakur was actually in the courtyard dancing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he somehow faintly heard that, you know, there is some calamity which has happened and the ladies are crying like this. So he went in the other room and he observed that his son has died. But he immediately controlled his emotions. And Srivas Thakur was not on the bodily platform of life. So he knew that, you know, this is just that the soul has taken on another body. So he was not at all aggrieved and he immediately chastised the ladies who were crying. And he said, "Why are you all crying? If our son has left this world, why are you all crying? In fact, I wish I had such a death, such a glorious death as our son has had. Because he has passed away when the Lord himself is present in our house. And he is doing kirtan. He has passed away amongst ecstatic chanting and dancing of the Lord's name. So what more glorious death would someone desire? He has definitely got a better destination. So there is no need to lament. And so please stop your crying right now. And even if you are not able to, cry softly or cry after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan is over. I don't want anything to disturb the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So Srivas Thakur was so concerned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy should not be disturbed. That was his greater concern than his son passing away. So he told all the ladies that if you all don't stop crying and lamenting like this and grieving, I'm going to tie a pot around my neck, fill it with stones, and I will go and drown in the Ganga. So immediately you all have to stop this crying. And the ladies, and if in fact you all also come and participate in the kirtan. So somehow, you know, the other members of the family, they control their emotions. And then Srivas Thakur came out again and he joined the kirtan back of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was completely blissful. He came out with a smile. He did not even show even a bit by his demeanor that, you know, such a great calamity has happened in his house. And he absolutely participated as if everything was normal in the kirtan of the Lord. But slowly the news had spread among the other devotees that yes, Srivas Thakur son has passed away. And when the kirtan was about to end, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells the devotees and he talks to Srivas Thakur. He says that there is some inauspiciousness which has happened in this house. There is some calamity and I can sense that there is some calamity which has happened in the house. So please tell me what has happened. Please don't hide these things from me. And then Srivas Thakur answers the Lord. He's still not mentioning to him. He says that, my Lord, wherever your smiling face is there, how can there be any calamity? How can there be any inauspiciousness? And the Lord continuously stresses that, no, I know there is something that has happened. And Srivas Thakur keeps saying that, no, my Lord, you know, wherever you are doing ecstatic dancing, wherever there is chanting of your holy name, of Krishna's holy name, how can there be any calamity? But then the other devotees inform Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that actually Srivas Thakur's son has passed away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shocked. And he said, Srivas, why didn't you mention to me? Your own son has passed away and you are not even mentioning to me. And Srivas Thakur replied that, no, my Lord, because I did not want to disturb your kirtan. I did not want to disturb the ecstasy which the other devotees were also experiencing in dancing and chanting with you. So that's why I did not mention to you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately went inside the room and he saw the little boy who had passed away. And he touched the boy, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched the boy, that the soul actually entered back and the boy stood up and he talked to the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that, why have you left this auspicious house of Srivas Thakur and gone away? And the boy answers that, you know, I have had so many mothers and fathers in my previous life, and in this life I was fortunate to be born in the house of Srivas Thakur, and I was fortunate to pass away during the kirtan which was being performed by you, my Lord, yourself. So I've had a very glorious passing away and I'm in a much better destination. So I don't wish to come back. I'm absolutely happy wherever I am. And he gives this assurance and then he again dies. Like the soul again leaves the body. And when all the other members of the family hear the boy speaking like this, then they are all pacified. And they immediately fall at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself does the last rites for the boy. He washes the body in Ganga water, he dresses the boy nicely and he leads the procession to the funeral ghat which was on the Ganga by doing loud kirtan and dancing. And after all that, he embraces Srivas Thakur and he cries that, Srivas, just not to disturb my kirtan, you did not tell me about the passing away of your own son. You are such a glorious devotee and how am I going to bear separation from you? How am I going to leave association of such nice devotees as all of you? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hinting like this and all the devotees started getting very worried that what is this that the Lord is indicating? And actually that was the first hint which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving, that he is going to take sannyas in the near future. But he cried in separation from Srivas Thakur because Srivas Thakur was such a nice devotee of the Lord. And it is mentioned that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left Mayapur and he went away, Srivas Thakur could not live in that place anymore. He could not bear separation from the Lord. So he, along with his entire family, they moved to a place called Kumarhatta. And they were living over there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to visit Srivas Thakur in Kumarhatta when he was going to visit Sachi Mata. So on the way, he came to visit Srivas Thakur. And even in Kumarhatta, Srivas Thakur was completely absorbed. He and his four brothers. First of all, there are four brothers and all their wives. Such a big family living together without any quarrelling. Now in Kali Yuga we see, you know, even husband-wife, nuclear family also, there is so much quarrel. But if there is a big joint family, how, you know, they would definitely, people would not be able to live together. The brothers may have some affection for each other, but the wives will ensure that they have separated. But here Srivas Thakur's family members, they are all living together so nicely without quarrelling. And it was a big family with maid servants and all that. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed that all that Srivast Thakur was engaged in was Harinam Kirtan throughout the day and reading Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing the pastimes of the Lord. So they were just involved and they were just absorbed in passing their time like this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering, how is Srivast Thakur maintaining his family if he is full day passing his time like this? So he called Srivast Thakur and he said that, Srivast, you have such a big family and why are you not going and doing some work? So Srivast Thakur just smiled, he did not reply. And he said, okay, if you don't want to do work, at least you have to go and beg for your family. You can go door to door and beg. And again Srivast Thakur did not reply, he was just smiling at Lord Chaitanya's suggestion. And then he said that if you don't want to do all these things, neither do you want to work for your family, nor do you want to go and beg for your family, then you take sannyas. You are as good as a sannyasi, better you leave your family and take sannyas. And Srivast Thakur says that, no, I cannot take sannyas because I am not at all qualified to take sannyas. I am such a fallen person, he says. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks that, then how are you going to maintain this big family? I see that you are not doing anything else except dancing, chanting and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading, discussing pastimes of the Lord. So then Srivast Thakur says that, I will maintain my family by 1, 2, 3. And he claps his hands thrice. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what is this 1, 2, 3? How are you going to maintain your family by this 1, 2, 3? And then Srivast Thakur says that, that more than 3 times, if my family has to fast, then I will go and drown myself in the Ganga. And that is the principle I have adopted. That more than 3 times I will ensure that my family doesn't fast. And but if they have to fast because of some reason there is not enough food in the house, then I will give up my life because I would have not done my duty to my family. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Srivast Thakur's reply. So he roared in ecstasy and he again embraced Srivast Thakur. And he blessed him. He said that, because you are so surrendered to the Lord, because Srivast Thakur was showing one of the principles of Sharanagati, which is, you know, to have absolute faith that the Lord is my only maintainer. So Srivast Thakur had complete faith in that and he was surrendered to the Lord, that who am I to maintain my family? It's the Lord who is maintaining me and my family. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraces him and he blesses Srivast Thakur. He says that even if there is a drought throughout the world, and there is a complete, there is no food grains left on the earth at all. And even if Lakshmi Devi herself, who is opulence personified, if she has to go from door to door begging, even then there will be no lack of opulence in your house. So even if Lakshmi begs, you will not have to beg. There will always be opulence in your house. There will always be enough for you to eat and your family to survive. So these are the blessings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives Srivast Thakur. And because Srivast Thakur was such a great devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could never tolerate anybody insulting or anybody offending Srivast Thakur. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned that there was a Brahmin called Gopal Chapala. Now this Gopal Chapala was a very prestigious Brahmin in that society. He was highly regarded for his Brahminical qualities. He was a scholar, Vedic scholar, and you know he had all these, he used to do so much yajnas and all that. But he was envious of Srivast Thakur. And he also was like those neighbors who were envious about the kirtans that were going on in Srivast Thakur's house. And because he was not allowed, so he became envious because he was not qualified and he was not allowed in the kirtan. So he became envious and he wanted to defame Srivast Thakur. So one day what he did at night when the kirtan was going on, he put some tantric puja items outside Srivast Thakur's house, like a bottle of wine and some kumkum and all those puja items which are used by tantrics to perform black magic. So he put all these items outside Srivast Thakur's house because he knew that in the morning when all the neighbors wake up and they see these items outside Srivast Thakur's house, they will all immediately look down upon Srivast Thakur that, oh, he's such a fallen man. He does all these tantra puja and all these things at night and he's not engaged in anything else but just, you know, doing all these black magic. So in the morning when Srivast Thakur opened his doors, he found that, all these tantra, all these items that somebody has placed outside his house. Now normally what would we do? We would immediately protest, we would try to find out who has put all these things and, you know, bring that person to justice. And we would try to defend to everybody, no, I didn't do this, I'm not like that. But Srivast Thakur, he was in such high consciousness. He knocked on, the neighbors had not even woken up yet, but went and knocked on all the neighbors' houses and he gathered all the neighbors. And he said that, you see all these items outside my house, this is actually what I do at night. I sit and do throughout the night. I sit and do all tantric pujas to the goddess Kali so that I get some magical powers and I can do black magic on people. That is why these items are outside my house. And the neighbors knew of Srivast Thakur's spotless character. So they say that, no, we know you would never do like that. We know what you do at night with other devotees of the Lord. And in fact, the neighbors felt ashamed that something like that has been put in front of such a great devotee's house. So they immediately threw away all those tantric items and they washed the whole place where all these items had been placed. And they smeared it with cow dung and purified it with cow urine and all these things. And the neighbors said that, you know, we know you wouldn't do such a thing. They had so much trust in Srivast Thakur. And Srivast Thakur did not even, you know, try to inquire who has put this, or he did not take any offense towards the person who has put it. But the Lord never pardons a person who does such things to his devotees. So if soon after this incident, Gopal Chapala actually contracted leprosy. And in those days, you know, even now, like leprosy, leprosy is a contagious disease. So such a person has to be ostracized from the society. So Gopal Chapala was ostracized from the society and he had to live in a small hut or something like that on the bank of Ganga. And his leprosy was actually very terrible. He was suffering immensely for months and months from this leprosy disease which he contracted. And by that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had revealed that he is the Supreme Lord. So once he was passing down on the bank of Ganga and Gopal Chapala cried out to the Lord, he said, Lord, you are Pati Tapavana, please save me from this miserable condition that I am in. Please save me. You are the Supreme Lord. I know you are not just a devotee, but you are the Lord himself who has come in Mayapur. So you please save me. And he begged to the Lord. And you know, we actually say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya. He is Pati Tapavana. He is the most munificent incarnation. And you know, he saved even fallen devotees like Jagai and Madhai. But in this case, he did not save Gopal Chapala. And instead of saving him from that miserable condition, he actually cursed Gopal Chapala. He said that may you suffer like this for the next 10 million years and may your condition deteriorate further and further because you have offended a pure devotee like Srivast Thakur. So it is not I who can save you from this condition, but only if you fall down at the feet of Srivast Thakur and you beg pardon from him, then you can be saved from this miserable condition. So like this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him, and Gopal Chapala had already suffered terribly for so many days. So he realized his mistake and he repented for what he had done to Srivast Thakur. So he goes to Srivast Thakur's house and he falls down at his feet and he begs pardon from Srivast Thakur and he says, I'm extremely sorry that I performed such a heinous activity to defame you and spoil your name in the society. So you please pardon me. Only if you pardon me will the Lord pardon me. And we see this pastime even in Durvasa Muni Amrish Maharaj's pastime, how the Lord was not ready to pardon Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni had to fall at Amrish Maharaj's feet to get the mercy of the Lord again. So now, because Srivast Thakur was such a magnanimous Vaishnava, he immediately picked Gopal Chapala up and he embraced him. And he said that, no, you have not done any offense towards me. But even if you feel like that, I completely pardon you. I completely forgive you. I have not kept anything in my heart at all. So he begs, Gopal Chapala begs at Srivast Thakur's feet and Srivast Thakur pardons him. And then immediately Gopal Chapala's leprosy goes away by mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he also becomes an intimate associate of the Lord. So there are many more pastimes of Srivast Thakur, but because of paucity of time, we will end here. And we pray to Srivast Thakur that we also get a bit of devotion like he had for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we develop some of his qualities, devotional qualities that he had for the Lord. We'll end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Are there any comments or questions or corrections? And during the Mahaprakash Leela, the Lord shows at that time for 21 hours.
Yeah.
And during that pastime, in fact, I had studied that pastime also, but there's no time that during that pastime, the Lord actually delivers the maidservant Dukhi because she was collecting water so nicely for the Lord. So it is mentioned that, you know, the Lord was dancing and chanting ecstatically and she was so attracted to see the Lord dancing. You know, imagine if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing, how all of us will gather around and just want to watch him dance. But Dukhi was so absorbed in her service of bringing water because they were bathing the Lord with so many pots of Ganga water. So she was nicely arranging all the pots and, you know, for the bathing of the Lord, for the Abhishek of the Lord, that she was restraining herself from watching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although she was attracted. And then at the end of that pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Shriyas Thakur that, who arranged all this water pot so nicely for my bathing? And Shriyas Thakur says, oh, it's a maid servant in my house called Dukhi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately calls for this maid servant. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that, you know, we should not yearn to see Krishna, but we should act in such a way that the Lord wants to see us. Our activity should be like that. And Dukhi actually did that. Because of her activity, she attracted the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see her. So she comes in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blesses that from today onwards you should not be called Dukhi, you should be called as Sukhi. And he gives her pure love for Krishna. So that pastime happens after that.
One thing, I think Mahaprabhu cursed the Chakalopa and then he left, he didn't give the mercy immediately. Then he had to suffer for some time.
Okay.
Chakalopa. Then when he returned, he actually, then again he approached. Then that time Mahaprabhu came merciful and said, okay, you
seek pardon from Shriyas Thakur.
There was that time gap between
these. Okay. Thank you, Ravi.
You spoke about the past and Gopal Thakur and how Lord Chaitanya instructed that unless you were full of the lotus feet of that devotee, he would not excuse you. Lord Chaitanya would not excuse that offense towards a pure devotee. Sometimes we think this just applies to pure devotees, but Lord Chaitanya explains the mad elephant offense as well, that in devotee, someone who becomes a lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya shouldn't offend. So in the case of this pastime, if we offend a devotee and we do not then fall at their feet or ask for forgiveness, is it that our disease state and our disease condition continues and our bhakti stays on hold, or could we say that with that pastime, unless he actually went to Shiva's Thakur, he wouldn't be delivered? So if after we commit offenses and we don't ask for forgiveness, that stays there, we actually don't move?
Yes, Mataji, you know the reply, but still for my own purification, I say. I was hearing a lecture, and in that, when Prabhuji was mentioning that, for example, if, you know, we get pricked by a thorn, and we got pricked in a public place, we were walking down a street and, you know, there was some, or there was something dirty we stepped on, and, you know, we got, it entered into our shoe and it entered into our feet. Now, because we don't want to embarrass, you know, we are embarrassed to, you know, remove it in front of everybody, so we keep walking down and we don't remove it. Or, you know, we are so embarrassed that, no, I don't want to bend down and touch my feet and remove. So we, you know, try to take it off our shoulder, or we do some other activity to nullify what has happened at the feet. But nothing of that sort, or no activity of that sort is going to be in this case. Only when you remove the thorn or whatever dirt or whatever has gone into your feet, only if you remove that, then it is going to help you. So in the same way, sometimes, you know, when we commit Vaishnava Aparadh, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that whenever a devotee commits Vaishnava Aparadh, it is like they have to consider that they are so throwing hot cinders on my chest. So it he takes it so heavily, like throwing hot coals. Now, would we dare, would we even imagine doing that? We all pray so much to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so would we imagine throwing hot coal on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chest? But he says that whenever you all are speaking anything bad about devotees or blaspheming my devotees, please think that you all are throwing hot coal or hot cinders on my chest. So it is mentioned that, you know, we might do all other devotional service, but till we take care of that thorn from the feet, so till we take care of the aparadh which we have done to the devotee, we will never be able to progress. And Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in the lecture that, you know, it is like, because it is also said, like the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that wherever there is Krishna, there is always victory, and O Arjuna, please be assured that my devotee is never lost. So he is also assuring his protection. Then what is it that is lost? And I heard in one of Radhanath Maharaj's lecture, he was mentioning that, for example, you had a key to a treasure, you know, and, you know, that key gets lost. So that key is there, it is there, it is available somewhere, but you have lost the key to the treasure. So it's like that. When we do Vaishnava Aparadh, So we have lost the key to the treasure of love of Krishna. So we might, you know, seemingly in everyone's views and in our views, we might continue with the tenets of devotional service, with the facets of devotional service, we might continue with different services. But we will not be able to experience that bliss or experience that ecstasy that we were experiencing in our chanting, in our devotional service. The Lord will slowly take the taste away for the devotional service. So that is how, that is that blockage which comes in a devotional service, which Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in his lecture. So till we rectify it and we, you know, really humbly beg forgiveness from the Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, whomever we have offended, till that time Krishna will not give that key back to us. So only after that activity we have done, then that key will be available to us. And many times we see that, you know, sometimes it's even unknowingly we have hurt a Vaishnava, or knowingly, you know, we have hurt a Vaishnava. And then when we are chanting, we are not able to delve deeply into the holy name. And we see there is some block coming, there is some block coming. We are not able to chant nicely like we used to do before. And that is why it is said, no, a devotee is also very grave. So a devotee is grave and he does lots of introspection. So that time Krishna then reveals that yes, this is what you have to take care of in your devotional life. And then we go and seek pardon and then that key is again available to us. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.